Independent.
In depth.
Inside EWN.
On 702. Live.
Streaming.
On the Prime Media Plus app.
DStv Channel 856.
92.7.
And 106 FM.
6 after 8 it is. You are inside EWN. My name is Mpho Rapata. Welcome to it. It's the second hour of our show. We've now put to bed the stories that we've covered in the week, but now we're talking about elections. You heard what Alpha's package said earlier. We spoke about some of the issues that the people of Limpopo in the Vembe district are talking about. They're talking about Zama-Zama activity. They're talking about lack of healthcare facilities in the area, the general mismanagement and disillusionment from the people in that area of Limpopo. Like I said, we're going from province to province, taking you into the confidence of the people in those areas. Next week, we are going to go to the Eastern Cape, where our reporter Baba Lundenze and Kayleen are going to give you a sense of what they got when they got to the Eastern Cape. But right now, though, like I said, I promised you I have two guests in studio, Ntate Bantu Olomisa from the UDM, and then Ntate Kaba from the PAC, who's the chairperson of the PAC, the leader of the UDM, are in studio, and they're talking to me about their manifestos. They launched their manifestos yesterday. And if you did not know what was in their manifesto and you'd like to hear some of the points that are in their manifestos, take a listen and we'll have a discussion about what's the content of their manifestos are. But also, if you want to join in the conversation, whether on WhatsApp or on the line, if you want to join with us on the line, it's the number to dial is 011-883-0702. If you're coming from our Cape Town studios, Cape Talk, the number is 021-446-0567. On WhatsApp, you can give us a voice note or a text on 072-702-1702. Good evening to my guest, Ntate Olomisa. Good evening to you and welcome to Inside EWN.
Good evening and good evening to our listeners.
Ntate Kaba, good evening, the chairperson of the PAC.
Good morning, Paul, and good morning to the listeners.
Now, let me start with you. So how I'm going to do this is I want my guests to tell you a little bit about what their manifestos were saying, and then we can look at other different aspects of their manifestos. If, like I said, if you want to be part of this conversation, please give us a call or you can chat to us on WhatsApp, whatever suits you. This is an opportunity to put your questions to the leaders of these parties and to engage and perhaps to make up your mind, really, on how you want to vote. Ntate Olomisa, I'll start with you. Give me a sense of what your manifesto is about. I mean, I read the manifesto and one of the key things you mention is talking up to corruption. You talk about taking South Africa at a glance. And I like that because we look at South Africa 30 years on and whether South Africa has indeed made any gains. In about a month or two's time, we'll be celebrating 30 years of democracy. The question is, do we have anything to celebrate as we mark 30 years of democracy in this country?
Thank you very much for inviting us to participate in this debate. The United Democratic Movement, as you correctly put it, launched its manifesto yesterday. The details of our manifesto can access it at www.udm.org.za, www.udm.org.za. That is our website. Mm. In our manifesto, we have covered the following areas. Point number one is good governance. That is service delivery and the civil disobedience we have been witnessing.
Mm.
And then we also look at number two is our economy, where we talk about land, we talk about the investments and so on and so on. Then rural revitalization is also part of the economy and so on. Then the two is we are talking about faith-based organizations. Then we talk about international relations. And then we also talk about environment, climate change, waste management, diversity and conservation.
Mm.
Then we also talk about safety and security. We also talk about education. We also talk about healthcare, marginalized stakeholders, that is people with disabilities, women and youth.
Mm.
And then electoral regime, how should we, are we happy with the current electoral system we have? And then the last one is coalition government. So those are the areas which are contained in our manifesto. Anyone who would like to read more about them, those topics can go to our website, www.udm.org.za. But in so far as the state of South Africa, we feel strongly that there is a need for a dialogue at national level.
Mm.
Immediately after elections.
Mm.
In that dialogue, we still need to have a consensus on what kind of economic policy we have, we should have. And also, we need also to have consensus under the economy, the issue of land. We will also, in that dialogue, talk about the state of security of South Africa. Because right now the safety of South Africans is a very big challenge. And then we will go under that area, under the dialogue we are proposing. We are mindful of the fact that during CODESA, which was occasioned by the fact that militarily speaking, the conflict black and white in South Africa, there was no winner.
Mm.
Then the ANC and National Party pursued the route of sitting around the table. Therefore, that is our strength as South Africans.
Mm.
So if we are going to talk about land, we are going to talk about what kind of macroeconomic policies do we want to have, we still need that round table discussions, because the CODESA only delivered the political freedom. The economy, yeah, the land and related matters are still pending on our agenda. And also we need to make sure that, especially if the government is no longer going to be under one political party,
sure,
there's a coalition. So it would be good, and I think it would be fair to talk about a need to establish a government of national unity and finish off the agenda
that was
which was never finished during CODESA. That's the UDM.
Ntate Qaba, your manifesto, just a synopsis of what it entails, and like I said, we'll break down some of the issues, and so when I look at the issues that Ntate Olumisa is talking about, it's partly what is in your manifesto. The issue of land, we know that the PAC is very big on the issue of land, but healthcare and so on. Just generally, what would one find in the PAC's manifesto?
Thank you very much. Basically, our manifesto is anchored on the issue of land. And that land, it's a legacy of African people. And the dynamics that are here now should change. In taking the summary issue in our manifesto, we talk quite in detail in a manner on how do we build a reliable government.
Mm.
We cannot improve the current system of governance. It's flawed from the design. Yeah. And we need to change dramatically. You'll see when we deal with the issues of health and land, we go into detail how should we change it paradigm-wise,
yeah,
not just a mere improvement of efficiencies. We also go in depth in terms of issues of economy. Economy is really anchored on energy. Once you don't have reliable energy, you can never build your economy, because industrialization, as we see the country develops, if you look at 50% of our population now, it's urbanized. Basically, the 8 metros have the 50% of the population. It means that if we have to survive economically, we have to industrialize dramatically. I know that As a party, we know that most of the people jump and want to be in the fourth industrial revolution. But before you get there, you have to make sure that your third industrial revolution works, which are your industries. So as the PEC, that's where we see the country going in terms of what we need to do. In terms of social development, you'll see in our manifesto, we're saying that let's move from the paradigm that will give everyone welfare. You cannot sustain a nation on welfare. You need a nation that is capable of building, of being self-reliant, on which we will all build. So our social development is not on a welfare position, but how do we fundamentally rehabilitate ourselves? Thinking about the trauma that we have went through in the past century, you know, trauma is also move intergenerational. So whatever has been felt by our parents and their parents is still with us. And that needs to be worked on systematically, not in the way that we are doing now. We raise the issue of national security from an institutional base. How do we strengthen our army? How do we strengthen and resource our police? But also, how do we change the behavior of our people not to make the opportunities of crime to increase? So in summary, that's what we raised, anchoring on the issue of land that must be decommodified and be brought back on the table, as the general was saying, for discussion, because it needs to be restored to the people in general.
So let's start with the question of the country's economy. And the reason I'm starting with it is because we've just come out of a budget speech. There was a lot of talk about how the country is now going to use its reserves. And there's a lot of opinion and talk about what that would mean for South Africa. Ntate Olomisa, if you look at the country's economy right now, suffice to say that our economy isn't healthy. And so when you look at the UDM and what you propose in terms of the economy, where would you take us?
I think, first of all, we must insist and remind the people of South Africa that in the last 30 years, we have not developed an industrial policy as well as an employment policy. Thirdly, the South African situation is a little bit difficult. There are a lot of challenges.
Mm-hmm.
We still expect our kids, when they finish school, to go and look for jobs. But you will find that these 60+ million black South Africans are searching for jobs which are managed or owned by small 3 million population of whites. And not to say, and also you must understand that not all the white people that after 3 million own businesses.
Sure.
So therefore, there is a need to change the trajectory and say, from now on, we draw a line, and that we need to create a national fund like the Afrikaners did when they were poor like us. A national fund where, if, for instance, your child has done a course, whether it's in the textile related or steel or engineering, that individual, we need to invest in those people. We can send them to other countries for 6 months for orientation. When they come back, then we say, this is the fund. Will buy equipment and the stock for you. Mm. Once that individual produces something, he's going to need another people to pack those products. Later on, he's going to need a transport. Then it's a chain. Everybody will start get working. This thing of us expecting that the current industry in South Africa can absorb or accommodate 60 million black South Africans. We are wasting our time.
Hmm.
So the state, therefore, in the economy has to play a leading role because there are backlogs and imbalances we have not addressed since 1994, which were occasioned by the policies of separate development. You can look at the infrastructure. Let's talk, for instance, about broadband. Simple thing. Mm. Roll it out to the rural areas, townships, so that if you want to place an order, you have access to internet. Also, those who are at school, they can also benefit out of that.
Mm.
You may also look at the question of establishing ICT centers in the remote areas so that people don't have to travel so many kilometers to go and get ID and register for death certificates and birth certificate. So this issue of the economy of South Africa has to be looked into. Look at the Black Economic Empowerment Policy. The word sounds good, but you are aware that it only targeted a few cream of the black. And guess what? Even those black South Africans who benefited out of, who were members of the BE, the more people who benefited are those they joined, that is white businesses.
Hmm.
That's why they are all over the world. And the arrogance which is there, therefore the UDM would want the state, the labor and business to sit around the table and say, the topic is about our economic emancipation of our people of South Africa, and what kind of ingredients are we going to use to achieve this objective?
Dr. Lumisa is speaking about an industrial policy to address some of these economic challenges that South Africa finds itself in. In your manifesto, how do you want to tackle the issue of the economy? And I know that you are underpinned by the issue of land, but what would a South African who wants to look into the PAC's manifesto and look at economic policies, what are some of the things that you as a party would look at in terms of revitalizing this economy?
Fundamentally, we need to change believing in wearing ties. We need to use our hands. We, as the PAC, in our manifesto, we insist that we need to introduce trade in schools. By the time you leave school, you must be able to do something. You must be able to live.
Yeah.
Currently, most of the graduates who have done 12-year schooling plus 3-4 years cannot work for themselves. They have to be employed by someone. So the PAC is starting there. In the past 30 years, we have experienced a major deindustrialization, systematic deindustrialization. Of course, it was in the interest of foreign countries because it gives them employment and we become a market. We are saying, let's move away from a mentality of being consumers. You were talking about a budget earlier.
Mm.
That budget is a budget of consuming. It's a consume and consume the seeds. Because when you start to dip at your reserve, it means that you are eating the seeds. So we are saying, let's move and be producers. Let's revitalize the industries in Butterworth that used to be there. Let's revitalize the industries that used to be a Stebe or Toyando. Let's take away the mentality that jobs are only in Johannesburg or in Gauteng. Where there are people and where there are problems, there are opportunities for producing solutions. And that's where the PAC come from. You'll remember in local government, we've also said this. Every municipality must be known of at least one product that it specializes on the country. And when you start doing that, you excite the economy, you create specialties. In China, for example, one of the models that we look at, you will see that even American companies, when they want to move out of China, they cannot, because the engineers that are specializing on instrumentation there, they have specialized so much that they cannot move to cheaper countries, because now it's not about cheapness. It's about specialization and the skills that you have. and the ability to produce the highest quality of a specific, not just generalization. Let's make our areas to specialize. Why PE is failing dramatically is firstly what the general has said, that it was targeted that you get shares, you don't become operational. But even those who become operational, they do everything. They don't specialize and become a business that becomes viable in the long term and specialize and get to know your industry. That's what the PAC is moving from. Lastly, building on energy. You cannot have unreliable energy like we're having now. The games that we are playing of just transition without thinking through of moving from fashion, we are saying let's utilize coal fully.
So I want to take this call, but my question to you both is, there are many things that are contained in your manifesto, and your voters, or at least your constituency and the people who follow you, what do we do in between elections? So what does the PAC do for its members and their surrounds? And what does the in between elections, what do we do so that we can try and move the needle in whatever small way in the things that you're talking about? But let's hear what Phil, I'm going to park that for a comment, but let me hear what Phil is saying. Phil, good evening to you.
And thank you very much to your energy. Yes. You know, the danger with the concept of coalitions before elections and coalitions after elections is that the we need to go back to the original thinkers about the word coalitions. Co is a Latin word, means co. It means co means always. Alesse means to grow.
Phil, my argument would be to you that coalitions in South Africa are growing nothing. And this is based on the experience that we've had at local government level. We have a messy local government system at the moment simply because of these coalitions. And I do want to touch on the issue of coalitions like Ntate Hulumisa was talking about, because I don't know whether South Africa can afford coalition governments at the moment, because we've seen what at local government happens. So while we want to explain and expand on coalitions and why we talk about them, the reality is we can't discount them right now because that's the reality that we live in. But I do want my guests to talk about it and perhaps tell us who they may or may not want to go into a coalition with and why. I'm going to take a short voice note. Thank you so much, Phil, for engaging. I do want to engage my guests and take more callers. So I'm going to ask everyone to be brief and quick. Mkhu, let's listen to the voice note.
Hi, good evening. Need to ask Ntate Hulumisa. You lost numbers in the parliament over the years, and as per your manifesto, what do you think is going to make a difference now? And unfortunately, PAC is even worse. They are neither here nor there. It's just bad news for them. I don't think it's going to make it. Pat from Spareview, thank you.
The issue that Pat is raising, let's start there. The decline in numbers of seats in parliament, for both of you, where are we going? What is the UDM and or the PAC doing to make sure that in this election we keep that, we have the numbers and keep the numbers?
Thank you very much. It's true. I cannot deny that. But currently, if you look at the political situation, the environment is conducive enough that we can tap on these low-hanging fruits out there and grow up our party. But I want to go back to your question. What are we doing in between elections? The United Democratic Movement, with our seats in parliament, two seats, but you would think that we are having more seats, because almost every day we are in the media space, whether it's social media, dealing with the issues referred by the public to us.
Sure.
Whether you talk about ex-mine workers' complaints, you talk about ex-civil servants' pension sagas, claims, whether you talk about NSFAS students, yes, UDM is also betting on a wicket of promoting ethics of good governance and anti-corruption. It is for that reason that we are not afraid to tackle some of the ministers publicly. It was the UDM, for instance, which campaigned for the President Ramaphosa to institute a commission of inquiry on PIC, where the monies of the pensioners were misused because the comrades used PIC as a piggy bank to empower or loan monies to their friends, and those loans were not serviced. As I'm speaking to you now, we had to resort to court in order for President Ramaphosa and Minister Godongwane to effect the instruction of the president in SONA last year when I raised the issue of the ex-civil servants, that they must be paid their money back. It is the UDM which is fighting for ex-mine workers on UIF, NSFAS for the students. So we are there.
It's interesting you say that, because I wanted to ask you about the lead story, I think, in the Sunday Times today, speaking about the Speaker of Parliament, and that's an issue that you brought up.
Yes.
What's your position on that?
You will recall that I brought that issue to the... I tabled it in Parliament to the Joint Standing Committee on Defence. And the Joint Standing Committee on Defence, Mr. Klaber, the chairperson of that committee, insisted to want to know the whistleblower. I said, you're out of order. Read the legislation, what it says. But I'm happy that at least now it has gone out. Yes, Nosifuwe Mapisa said to me, if I have a problem, he has not yet not done anything wrong, I must go to the police. I reported the matter to the police. This investigation has been taking place almost a year now or so, or 6 months. But I can confidently say to the people of South Africa, the investigation was completed last year. And also the main witness has signed the section of section 204-208 in terms of guaranteeing that she is prepared to face the music herself. So call it a state witness now. That docket was finalized last year. And we were told that by December this person will be arrested or appear in court, or they would both appear in court. Later on came January, and then we began to ask questions. What's going on? And it has been confirmed that, or rumored, or confirmed, or whatever term you want to use, that the police were stopped not to take any action until the SONA has been finalized. The SONA has been finalized now. It's over, SONA. What are they waiting for?
Is there an option or an avenue, perhaps, to lay, like, an ethics complaint? Would we go there?
Well, if the parliament now, seeing that this thing is in the public domain, they can adopt an ad hoc committee to investigate these allegations. That process for a speaker and a president, as you know, and an independent institution like public protectors. Once you do that, you kick in an investigation or impeachment. So if I was in the boots of the speaker, because she did what this lady has done according to the evidence, I would resign, or else the ANC must recall her. We're sick and tired of these top echelons, people who are not disciplined or charged. I mean, there are cabinet ministers who should have not been there in terms of the Zondo Commission's findings.
Sure. I'm going to take a short break, Ndata Qaba. I'm going to come to you. I'd like you for you to answer the same question that Ndata Olumisa has answered about what do you, your in-betweens, in-between election, what does the PAC say? He says, or what do you do? Because he says with their two seats, this is what they're doing. Let's take me and South Africans who are listening into your confidence. Perhaps also it will encourage those people who want to come back to the PAC or people who are listening and are liking what they're hearing in terms of your manifesto. But just to give us a sense, we're going to take a short break. After the break, though, we take more of your calls on 011-883-0702, 021-446-0567 is the number in the Western Cape. Otherwise, you can send us a voice note on 072-702-1702.
Inside EWN on 702.
With the news people you know, love and trust.
22 to 9 it is on Inside EWN. My name is Mpho Rapata in the company of leaders of the PAC and the UDM. Ndata Qaba is the chairperson of the PAC, and I've also got Ndata Bantu Olumisa, who is the leader of the UDM. We're unpacking the manifestos that were launched yesterday, but also talking about other issues, what they have been doing in between elections. And if you have any questions or comments for them, you can give us a call on 011-883-0702. Otherwise, if you're coming from Cape Town, our Cape Talk studios, we are on 021-446-0567. And voice notes on 072-702-1702. Before I take your call, James, I want to speak to Ndata Qaba about what the PAC is doing in between elections. There's been a lot of talk, Ndata Qaba, about the factions of the PAC and what those factions have done in weathering down or whittling down the essence of the party. And so what reassurance then would you give somebody who is thinking about the PAC, but also what it is that you do in between elections?
Basically, it is important to highlight that we've experienced a decline over the 30 years in terms of our popularity. Mm-hmm. However, luckily for us, in the past 5 years, we've seen a change in the another direction, in the positive direction. If you look at local government, we've been able to double our local government representation. We're hoping for to continue on that trend in this coming elections. Why does it happen? It's exactly what we do in between. Firstly, we have embarked on a campaign of getting households to grow their food, getting people to believe in self-reliance, so that when we talk about the issue of distribution of land, we talk about people who are experienced. Secondly, we've taken the issue of African professionals who are being discriminated. If you look at the health sector, there has been a great, gatekeeping in specialization, and the PAC has taken the fight around the HPCA and how it conducts the examination of doctors, for example. The shortage of specialists in this country is manipulated, is not natural. And the PAC has a lot of interest and has been working with the health professionals in that sector, in that campaign. We also had a lot of interest in widows. Widows in this country, we've been campaigning with the widows. Widows, in terms of the tax structure, they are burdening, they are collapsing, because basically when they their husbands passed away, they end up moving from one bracket to another, while they are burdened of growing children by themselves because they lost their partner. On top of that, the tax sit on top of them.
I've got a caller on the line, Ndata Qaba. He has a direct question to you. James, good evening. Welcome to Inside EWN.
Good evening. How are you?
Well, thank you.
Good, good. Ndata, good to meet you, or good to hear you. I would like to ask you a question specifically in regards with your reference towards China. Now, I understand that China is an authoritarian country. So there is a one-party state in place there. Now, you are comparing policies directly from China towards South Africa. which in my opinion does not really apply to South Africa, considering that we are actually a representative democracy. Thus, my question is, how can you compare what is happening in China, where they have a absolute hand over power in terms of enforcing policies, to our country, where we have a democratic process in place?
Okay, let's get Mr. Taba to respond. James, thank you.
Thank you kindly.
Thank you very much. Basically, the political system of China is different to ours. That's correct. However, the way that they've managed their economy and the way that they've been diligent on administration, they have an efficient administration. Their state-owned companies are paying dividend to government. And that's what we want from our state-owned companies. Their public sector workers work as efficiently as you'll want a government to be. So that's why we are learning from China. We are not adopting what China is doing as parrots, as a dogma, but we are scientifically learning of what they are doing best and what we can learn from them.
Let's listen to some of the voice notes before I discuss the issue of coalitions. It's something that South Africans are fixated on, but it also is the reality of our country at the moment. And many people fear that should South Africa go into coalitions, we will be back on the drawing board every other day because political parties won't agree. But let's listen to the voice notes first.
Good evening, 702, and the guest there. My question to the guest there is about political funding, because I see the PAC and the UDM remain unfunded as per the donation declared by the IEC. New parties are now getting millions. So my question regarding that is that how do we protect the democracy, seeing that same people, the Oppenheimers, are across the board funding political parties? So it means the one with gold is the one who controls the country. So what is your view on that regarding political party funding, Bontate? Thapelo Makgale from the Democratic Union Party.
Good evening, Babu Holomisa and 702 listeners. I like to say to you are in the comfort zone. PAC and the UDM, they are in the comfort zone. You started now to come outside in the media, but all along you were quiet, even there in parliament. You guys, you are keeping quiet. You don't oppose anything. You don't blame anything. You don't agree on anything there. You are just sitting and then you keep on silence. I don't know why today you come on media, you are going around, but all these years, from the last election up until now, you are keeping quiet.
We have a caller on the line, Ndate Taba, and I think she wants to talk a little bit about the PAC and widows. After her, though, I do want to, if you will, just a response to her, whatever her issue or question is. Good evening, Kanyisile. Welcome to Inside EWN.
Thank you so much. Good evening to the listeners at home and the participant. I just have a question for Mr. Taba. Thank you so much for the deliverance. I'm a student as well. I do hear that the PAC is working with the widows, but I'm equally just interested in the position of the Pan-Africanist Congress insofar as just as the plight of women in South Africa holistically, understanding that you have the plight of gender-based violence and equally a femicide. I just wanted to hear their position on that. Thank you.
Okay, so let's tackle the issue of gender-based violence and femicide just quickly, and then we and I'm not discounting the conversation because I'm trying to cover as much as I can in the 14 minutes that we have left. That it cover?
Thank you. On gender, we believe that a family should be a family holistically. We need to desensitize our society on how to behave. We need to reduce drugs and substance abuse that leads to gender violence. Overall, the PAC believes that men and women are capable of contributing in society and they should be given an equal opportunity to contribute as per individual potential.
Ntate Olumisa, GBV and your policy on femicide?
We need to make sure that our criminal justice system is reinforced. People are arrested who commit these acts, but the following day they would be released and they go back and continue their work. And at times when the matter is in court, there are lawyers in this country who move all over the country. Their duty is just to postpone cases. And look at, for instance, this case in Port Elizabeth of that Reverend Omotoso. Look at the case of Ace Makgashule. Look at the case of Vincent Smith, who was a member of parliament. They are sensational. They cause sensation when they arrest them. But after that, years and years, you don't hear anything. It's postponements. So there would be a need to make sure that the laws which have been approved recently to deal with the GBVF should be implemented on the spot. Let me now go back to the question of party funding.
Yeah.
It was the UDM as early as 1999 which campaigned for the party funding to be in place. Guess what? The ANC and DA refused until recently. That party funding legislation still needs to be improved, but we are thankful that at least there is something. For the democracy of South Africa to be sustainable, my friend who asked the question, it will continue to be funded by the private sector until such time there is a legislation in place which says the democracy of South Africa will be funded by the government. So if you don't want, you don't trust those people who are funding the political parties, hard luck, it's in law. And I agree that, yes, the big business have funded these other parties. In fact, I'm writing a letter also to these companies which have been funding these other parties. Also, just to give us 1 million, that we don't ask too much. But just say 1 million. And then as far as keeping quiet in parliament, you're out of order. It is the United Democratic Movement which, for the first time in this country, said you cannot ask us to vote for a president secretly. And when we want to remove that particular president, you say we must show hands. UDM went to the Concord and we won that case. It was the UDM which said the chairperson of the IEC, Pensi Tlakula, has erred and she has to go. She went away. There are many other instances, like the issue of the PIC. It was the UDM who spearheaded that. There are also issues related to the widows. We wrote letters to the relevant departments and also to the office of the president to intervene on this taxation of these groups. It was the UDM which led recently in a court to say you cannot switch off the lights for hospitals and schools and police stations. So if you pretend as if you live in exile in your own country, that's your baby boy, not me.
Let's move to the buzzword right now, coalition governments. What the local government elections gave us is a system of governance that, well, many of us didn't vote for. So whilst we find ourselves in these coalitions, the city of Johannesburg, the city of Ekurhuleni, the city of Tshwane, and many other cities across the country. And so the anxiety that South Africans are having, and perhaps this will determine whether or not and how people vote, because then I would imagine that my vote really doesn't count if my party, for it to go into governance or even into parliament, needs another party, which I didn't vote for. So, gentlemen, I'm asking you about your position on a national government that is in a coalition form and the effects then of such agreements. And if you will indulge, if you were to find yourself in that position, who would you go into bed with?
Can I?
Yes, sir.
Can I start?
Yes, sir. You may.
There seems to be an emerging consensus that there will be no outright winner of the 2024 national and provincial elections.
Sure.
This must not be read as a negative, but rather as a positive outcome of a flourishing democracy, because it means that the people of South Africa are sick and tired of one-party dominance, which they have experienced, that it is doing nothing else but misuse state resources. Hence, you see people in the streets in South Africa. You can even say, if you have read, you have studied revolution, you can see that there are signs that the people of South Africa are marching towards a second revolution. So we need to make sure that what happened in the local government is a lesson. But I'm sure at national level, the rules of the game are going to change a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We have been there before during the government of national unity, because it promotes the checks and balances on the spot. You won't have now a cabinet minister issuing political directives which are laced with corruption to a DG. So I think the coalition are here to stay. And also that if you talk about coalitions, I've witnessed in my study tours in Denmark, in Germany, that you cannot come up with preconditions to say, I will not work with so-and-so or I'll work with so-and-so. You depend on the results of elections. In Germany, for instance, the hardline socialists will work, forced by the results, will work with the Christian Democrats.
Mm.
So what is important when we sit down in a round table talking about coalitions, it must not be about positions. UDM will place, for instance, its manifesto on table if I'm participating in those discussions.
Sure.
Local government actually has given us good lessons.
Sure.
The lessons are that once you have a multi-party scenario in government, a lot of things can be exposed. What everyone calls chaos in this multi-party structures now,
sure,
it's actually exposing what was happening that you did not have a view of. So it's a shock from society what has been happening behind the curtains, because it has been closed by party control. Without party control, it gives people full control of their government. It moved from being a government of the party to be the government of the people. And because the people have spoken correctly, as the general is highlighting, that after the election, we then say, what is the minimum program that we'll have together that we agree on to deliver to our people, rather than who do we like most? So that's a posture that the PAC is taking. It has not. We have picked our friends that we normally hang around with, that we got a common understanding.
Yeah.
But the decision of how government is structured will be after the elections.
And so South Africa, you think, gentlemen, is ripe, in fact, for a government like that, which was 1994?
Yes, we need that, especially that there are a lot of things which we did not finish during CODESA. So it would be an ideal to have a government of national unity or a coalition government. But the priority would be, guys, we have not empowered or invested in our majority citizens to become wealth creators where they can create jobs for the future generations.
So, I mean, I've got 3 minutes. So in these 3 minutes, gentlemen, your final message to South Africans who are to make up their minds, how does one use this time between now and an election to make that mind up? But also, why the PAC, why the UDM at this point, while South Africa is going through so much? What comfort would you offer South Africans going into this election and post this election?
We are saying that the voters must vote for change. We've been stagnant for a long time. We need a different perspective in our posture, in how we do, how we run our country. Mm. There is too much relaxation. There is too much cadres and cousins who've been put to run administration who are not competent to run administration. We say choose someone else, and that someone else is the PAC, according to us. Look at us, check. We've been consistent in our message. We've been reliable on how we run our matters and the matter of the nation we were given opportunity.
Is your party stable enough then, Ntate Gabo? Just quickly, the question about the divisions that we've seen within the PAC over the last couple of years. Can you reassure me as a South African that at this point, this PAC that you're talking about is a stable PAC that can get you to the next?
It is a stable PAC. It is a united PAC. And it's a PAC that will never stop to disagree with each other. But go and look at the graves. The way that people say that we fight with each other, there are no graves in that fight. Where others who are not fighting, graves are all over the place. So we disagree to agree on truth. And that's a posture of the PAC. That's what you'll get from the PAC if you elect us to be in government.
Ntate Holomisa, your parting shot?
Well, the voters on that day when they are in front of their ballot papers, the issue of trust, the word trust, will kick in to say, in the last 30 years, we have been led by this government. With all these scandals which have come out and the Zondo Commission's findings, can we still trust that we will be free, we will be economically empowered, we will be safe, and so on? That's what a voter will be thinking when he or she is there. But if for any other reason he or she thinks about the UDM, what has UDM has done? UDM has been betting on a wicket of anti-corruption and promoting ethics of good governance, not just in theory. We have hit sixes and fours, if I can use
cricket
the language
analogy.
Cricket analogy.
Yeah.
So I'm satisfied that with that consistency, where we have been in the face of South Africa and exposing this corruption and tackling head-on the big brother, I don't think if you put Cyril Ramaphosa and Holomisa on the screen and just ask a question, who of these can you trust?
Who do you trust indeed?
Vote Thank UDM.
You. Thank you to my guests. Thank you to you. As we take the conversation to the 29th of May, you were inside EWN. Thank you so much for your time. Ku Amu. Thank you. Good night and Godspeed.